We have Tiffany Webb from the hospital and Jamie Gale from the hospital. We also have AJ Knittle, who is working on behalf of, you know, he's going to be in the Dillingham School District assisting, you know, the child issues there with mental health, you know, and he's a great asset we have. So and I'm going to be in the background, and we'll have a call-in period after the three folks that give you a brief introduction and kind of what they're doing here and what they're doing for health and wellness, and to give some general tools for your toolbox, and then we'll have an open call-in period and answer any kind of questions that the citizens might have. So that's kind of where we're at first, and I'll just basically right now I'm going to turn it over to Tiffany Webb from the hospital. She's going to be the first panel member to have a brief intro, and then and we'll work our way down to Dick and AJ. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you. My grandparents are both now my husband. My mom is Inez Vilasold. My dad is Mark Webb. And I just want to start this discussion by acknowledging children, land that we're on, and ancestors of this place. And so if we could just take a minute to collect, like, all of our collective ancestors for the people that are on this panel, even if you're not, still come from people, you come from a place.
Right. Channel.
For our ancestors to guide us and keep us in a sacred place, for thinking in a sacred place, keep our words sacred, and help us to say to help people get to
You are now in silent mode.
And one of the questions that was posed to us when we started discussing this was mental health and, you know, and COVID. Like, COVID is stressful. Coronavirus is really stressful. But before that happened, our mental health was not great. Or for the last couple hundred years, we've struggled with some things as a result of colonization, right? And I think everybody knows what colonization is. And so because of that, we're disproportionately affected by coronavirus as Native people, as tribal people. And we're in a rural area, and so a lot of people are scared. And one of the first things I want to talk about is epigenetics. So epigenetics is basically this. From 1918 to 1919, the Spanish flu came to Bristol Bay. And so we want to talk about how did we survive that? How did we survive the Spanish flu as tribal people? And the reality is that most of us did not. We were almost wiped out in that one winter. And so when we talk about, well, how did people survive? A lot of our stories, a lot of our languages, a lot of our ceremonies, a lot of that stuff was not passed down after that. And so there's this thing. So we have this memory in our bodies. We actually carry that memory in our bodies, and that's called epigenetics, if you wanted to look up epigenetics, the science of epigenetics. And that has a lot to do with the level of stress that everyone is feeling. Like, everybody's freaking out, right? It's really scary. It's stressful, challenging. There's all these extra challenges on top of the challenges that you already have in life. And so how do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of our mental health with that situation being what it is, right? And I wanted to just throw out there that a lot of us have maintained the tradition of caring for each other, of sharing what we have, being good to each other, being patient, and being giving over time of a lot of things. And that is traditional. That is one of the ways that we survived the last several pandemics, like the Spanish flu, tuberculosis. There's more, I'm sure. So I just wanted to start with that, and thank you for having me here, and I hope that I have some helpful things for people.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Tiffany. I appreciate the words. We did want to have, again, for listeners, we want to have the wide range of things, and I appreciate Tiffany being here and talking more on the traditional side. Now we'll transfer over to Jamie for a wellness discussion.
Hi, I'm Jamie Gale. I'm the clinical director at Behavioral Health with the hospital. So I just kind of wanted to talk about stress in general and kind of like the collective experience that everyone is having, not just in Bristol Bay, but around the world right now, which I think is one of the things that makes this unique. You know, traditionally, if you're experiencing a stressor, even a family stressor, there's people around you that aren't being impacted, that you can rely on for support or you can turn to for help. And right now, everyone's support system is being impacted. And people that we typically might have turned to be that rock or be strength for us are having their own symptoms and issues to deal with going on. So I kind of wanted to talk in general first about things like signs or symptoms of the stress that we're experiencing, because I think maybe some people aren't giving credit to COVID where it's due for how they're feeling or changes that they're experiencing. So a lot of people might be experiencing and kind of having reports, you know, that increases or decreases in your energy and activity levels, having trouble finding motivation to get up and do things, just feeling really tired or fatigued but not knowing why or not having a clear reason for why. Having trouble relaxing, kind of feeling anxious all the time or just kind of restless or agitated, but there's not like a clear reason, just having a feeling that won't go away. Having trouble interacting with other people, so either wanting to spend time by yourself or kind of isolate yourself or being really irritable or less patient with people than you normally are. Having trouble concentrating on things, so even daily tasks, homework, simple paperwork, paying bills, things like that that you could normally do very easily might be really challenging to focus on or get done easily. Having a hard time reaching out to others. I think a lot of people are feeling more isolated just because of the precautions and the distancing measures that we're having to take, the lack of travel and things like that. So just a couple, I wanted to go over like very generic suggestions just to get started with. I would encourage people to think about, just for a minute or two, what's been the hardest part of COVID for you? You know, what change has been the hardest for you to think about or to kind of deal with? And that might be a really good place for where to start for something that you can do. So, for example, if you missed your friends and family or you feel a lot more isolated, then a really good starting place for dealing with this might be figuring out new ways to stay connected. Do you need to make more phone calls? Do you need to do more texting? Do you need to send letters in the mail? Just different ways to kind of reach out and feel connected to people that you can't physically see anymore. If you are worried about health and illness right now, you know, you're worried about getting sick, kind of taking that worry and shifting it to think about how you can be well right now. You know, what can you do to keep yourself from getting sick? So not only like our safety precautions and masks and social distancing, but then also could you eat healthier foods? Are you moving your body? Are you sleeping? You know, are you taking your medicine, seeing the doctor when you need to, doing all these things to keep your physical health and wellness up to prevent illness as much as you can, in addition to social distancing and safety precautions. And then I think one of the big things that is the hardest for me, but I think for a lot of people, is this lack of control or this feeling of like, what is going to happen? How long is this going to last? When is it going to end? You know, you can't plan for 3 or 4 months from now because we don't know what the virus will look like. We don't know what travel will look like. And that's a really hard feeling to feel like you have no control over your life or things that might come towards you. And so in that situation, you know, one of the recommendations is focus on things that you can control. What plans can you make? What things are you able to do? And then also finding ways in your daily life to do what we call building mastery. What is something that you can be good at? What is something that you can accomplish or complete? So we see a lot of that with knitting, crocheting? Can you read a book and finish it? Can you chop this pile of wood? Can you go hunting? Can you, like, sewing projects or things that aren't just ongoing, never-ending, but something that you can sit down for 30 minutes and at the end show what you accomplished with that time or something that you're able to do? For a lot of people dealing with stress and anxiety, that can usually be, like, a really helpful thing to try. And I kind of mentioned taking care of your physical body, but that's also a really good stress management technique, separate from just COVID. But when we're tired, when we're stressed out, when we're not eating right, or when we're not taking care of our medical health, all of those things impact our mood and our feelings of wellness. And so focusing really simply on the basics. Are you drinking water? Are you sleeping? Set schedule every night. Are you moving your body? If you have a medical condition, are you taking your medicine or doing what you need to do to take care of it? Just these really simple, basic things, but that way, when you're resetting your body, when you're taking care of it, it's better able to erase today's stress while you're sleeping and resting overnight, and then also to, like, approach tomorrow with a better energy and with a better ability to handle whatever might come. And then something else that I've been trying to implement in my life and then with people around me the last month or so is focusing on gratitude. There's a lot of things unpleasant in the news, unpleasant in the world. There's a lot of stress with COVID. There's a lot of political stuff going on right now. But instead of focusing on this negativity or these unknowns, like shifting our attention to what we do have, what we are grateful for, is it a person? Is it your physical wellness? Is it the roof over your head? Is it that you have food every day? But really spending even just 1 or 2 minutes a day intentionally thinking about things that you are grateful for and things that you do have in your life around you right now. And that can kind of just help. And then one of the other biggest recommendations with COVID that I do want to highlight is take a break from it. So don't read news 12 hours a day, every day. Take time to engage in the things that you were doing before COVID that you still can with social distancing. You know, get outside, talk to people, do these other things, and don't just sit stuck in the news cycle all day. So I think those would be kind of like the basic recommendations for that mild stress that we're all kind of feeling and just like some of these symptoms that people might not be attributing to COVID, but that a lot of people are.
Okay. Hey, that's great stuff, Kevin. Thank you so much. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. You know, one of the things I was thinking, and I don't know that it came out here, but a lot of people have pointed it out, you know, over and over again in different things that we face is the use of social media. Do you have any, because it's positive or negative, but do you have any comments on that? Or did I miss that?
I didn't address it specifically, but I would say with anything like that, I think each person needs to evaluate their relationship with it. So it's just like alcohol, just like with people in your life. You know, after you're on social media, step back and think about, does this make me feel better or worse? You know, does this make me feel connected to people, or did this make me feel like the world is a terrible place full of terrible people? Really evaluating how you use social media and either changing the way that you use it, changing who you follow, changing the platforms that you use, or finding a way to take breaks from it. Some people thrive on social media. They find a lot of connection and validation and support from it, and other people, it can create feelings of isolation because it's almost like a false sense of support or relationship if you're always by yourself and you're only connected with people through technology. It's not always the same rewarding feeling as having a real person in your life that you interact with like once a day or something like that. So I don't think there's like a hard and fast rule. I think each person just needs to think about how it makes them feel and how they use it.
Okay, thanks, Jim. That is good coping mechanisms. With what everybody kind of needs to focus on. Okay, we'll switch over to Jake Little, and he's working at the school district, so his focus really is school-age children, and then potential relationships between the children and family members and things. So there's a lot of stress in that area as well with school-age children. So I'll let AJ.
All right. Thanks for having me. First off, my name is AJ Knittle. I'll share a little bit about my background. You know, I have a master's in school counseling and clinical mental health counseling, and a lot of years of experience working with school-age children in different areas. And, you know, kind of like what Jamie was saying, the stress that we have is really impactful for the biological responses that we have to it. You know, we feel our emotions within our bodies, and that is our first indication that, you know, we can do something about it. As soon as we start feeling our emotions within our bodies, that is something that we can take control of. We can focus on the things that we, you know, we're gratifying, you know. And so one of the things that I wanted to amplify that Jamie was kind of talking about is searching for gratification in our day-to-day lives. So the more that you look for it, the more that you see it. The more that you look for those positive things that you have in your life, the more that you're going to see it. And so when I talk to school-age kids about different coping mechanisms or coping skills that they have or that they can use, I teach them as a skill. The more that you use it, the better you get at it. And so with any coping mechanism, deep breathing, mindfulness, guided meditation, progressive muscle relaxation, it's all about practicing those and practicing those intentionally. And so one of the things that I offered to Kelsey yesterday was a self-care wheel. And I hope that she's able to distribute that. And it talks about, you know, self-care is this idea of taking care of ourselves, in a physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual, personal, and professional manner, and being intentional in the way that we do that. You know, we're doing different activities. We're, you know, affirming ourselves. We're taking walks. We're fishing. We're hunting. We're hiking. We're doing these with the intention of taking care of ourselves. And it's really important to do that. And so, you know, one of the things, too, that I find really important is the way in which we present ourselves, especially with COVID. You know, the more that we have this fear around us, the more that our kids are going to feel that fear from us. You know, as a community, as a society, as parents, as teachers, as educators, you know, the way that we feel has a big impact on the way that our kids are going to feel that and react to it as well. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that the prolonged stressors that we have can lead to anxiety and depression and PTSD because of the increase of cortisol within our brain. And so it's important to kind of manage our responses to the different things that are happening within our lives and take care of ourselves. If we're able to take care of ourselves, we're able to take care of the people around us. And if we're struggling with that, it's going to make it a bigger struggle to take care of the kids. It's going to make it a bigger struggle to take care of our families. So with that, you know, connection is a huge piece of being able to take care of ourselves, connecting to our environment, connecting to our lands, connecting to the people around us and our families, and reaching out for help when you need it. So that's about all I've got.
Thanks, AJ. Is Tom Tilton on the phone? I'm not sure if Tom made it or not, or Courtney.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Okay. All right. So now we have the panels went through, and we'll start with opening up the call-in line. And let's see, where are those numbers? Dory, can you put the number out in the code for folks that may be listening in?
Sure. The call-in number is 888-392-4560, and the meeting code is
57103. Okay. Thanks, Lori. And Lori's going to take a few minutes to get that line hooked up. And we'll begin the call-in portion.
While we're waiting for that, I was just going to share some crisis lines and other resources outside of the region in case people want to talk to somebody. We have a behavioral health crisis line here But a lot of people, you know, want to talk to somebody or might want to talk to somebody different than us. So we'll also provide these to the city so they can be posted after the call as well. The first one I want to share is the Strong Hearts Native Helpline. So this is for domestic or sexual violence, specifically for Native communities. The number for this one is 1-844-762-8483. The state of Alaska also operates the Alaska Care Line. You can contact them by phone, or a lot of people like to text. When you text the number, you text to 839-863. It's just a six-digit number. Or the helpline is 1-877-266-4357. And so that one is staffed after hours by people in Alaska, and then it's also sometimes covered by the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And that national lifeline number is 1-800-273-8255. And then that national line, they also operate a texting line. If you prefer to text instead of talk, and you would just send a message to 741-741. And so we'll provide those, so those will be available somehow digitally after this. But there are quite a few resources, and a lot of people don't want to talk to someone they know, or they prefer to text. That's just a little bit easier for them. And so there's a variety of different options for where people can reach out.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the lines. Laura, we sorry about that.
Yeah, everybody's been unmuted and good to go.
Okay, callers, if you would call in and let me know your name, we'll start a list similar to how the mayor runs our meeting. So if you can just say your name and I'll get a list of names that are wanting to speak or ask a question.
Andy Straley.
Okay, Andy.
Yeah, Todd, going over the things that, you know, being a chemical decon guy and recon guy, some of the things that when we wrote back in the late 80s, Department of Defense protocol for what to do for a biological attack in Western Alaska, just none of those protocols have taken place. And now you look at where Bethel is yesterday, 79 cases, 4 deaths. Based upon the exposure that we had here, we're 10 days away from that kind of numbers here. There's no way to handle the bodies, no way to decontaminate nothing, no way to contain this epidemic. One thing that can be done is a doormat that is soaked in chlorine and water, and people can start wiping their feet on that. The chew spitters, that's just got to stop. The picking up cigarette butts, that's got to stop. Need to be steaming by yourselves, need to let the steam completely dry out 100 degrees for 20 minutes prior between the next person going in. The habit of taking and holding used toilet paper in the bathroom in a waste basket, you're adding time, temperature, and variation to the virus. You give that with the growth media that is in the VAN-E system, and you have now weaponized this virus. There are some very serious, actual things that need to start getting done as soon as possible, and we cannot wait a presidential election and then for them to take office. By then, it is too late. That's pretty much that. And, the bike issue has been taking my time besides my medevacs back and forth to Anchorage with my heart stopping. I've still been working on this full time for different government agencies, doing what we can. There's just a 30-year gap in when they train people to do this stuff and when we had to actually do it again. anyway, that's all I have. Everyone's plugging away, doing the best they can with what they got, but there just isn't a whole lot out there at this point. We need to start thinking of doing a cargo-only pilot pool so that we can, the planes don't quit coming this weekend, keep this winter. We need to keep the pilots separate that can haul cargo from the ones that are hauling passengers, just so we have a reserve, because we're even running out of military pilots. So. Yep.
All right. That's all. Appreciate that. Is everybody else on the phone that would like to ask the panel a question? Okay. There's, I guess we're not going to have, we won't have a call-in period. I'll go back through the panel and give you, if you thought of some things that, as we got through this, if you want to have some closing remarks, and we'll close down the wellness call. Start out with Tiffany, please.
Yeah, I would like to, I guess as a closing thought, I would like to remind everybody that we have thousands of years of resiliency, like that we carry in our bodies, and we can rest to that anytime we want to. We can
connect to which?
All of that survival that we carry from our ancestors, and it doesn't always have to be practical. It can be, you know, for us as tribal people, everything has a season. And before other cultural ideas were forced on us or put on us.
You are now in silent mode.
And even the sickness has a spirit. And sometimes providing a reverence to those things, to those spirits, and making peace with them, honoring them, acknowledging how powerful they are, and asking them to, like, stay away from you is very, it sounds very impractical, and it might sound really strange to some people, but for us as you know, children and tribal members and all the Nupiak and Siksiak people and the Nupiak people and the Unagin people that are here in Bristol Bay, like, our ancestors knew about those things. And they use those things to survive. They use that knowledge and that ability to connect to survive. And I just want to encourage people to continue to use that and to remember that we have made it this far, and we did indeed survive. And even if nobody can say for sure exactly how that happened, we know that it did, because we're here. And we're going to be here for a lot longer than, you know, the next year. We'll be here after COVID, and to continue to connect with our culture and our language and all of the beauty of, that makes us who we are. And thank you.
Thanks, Tiffany. And thanks for taking the time to come and help us out and share it, and appreciate that lots. All right, Jamie.
Yeah, so I think I just want to wrap up by saying just be kind. You know, be kind to yourself. Be kind to people around you. Everyone in the world is experiencing this stress to some degree. We're all impacted in some way. And it's normal to not feel normal right now. So just really thinking about the small ways that you can feel in control, the small ways that you can connect with who you are and what's important to you, even if it's adapted from what it might have been 6 months ago or a year ago. We'll put resources out. We'll give some stuff to the city to get put out. But, you know, just self-care, just relaxation, connecting, like, those values and things, I think, is, you know, being kind to yourself.
Thanks, Jamie. And, thanks for the stuff to put online, too. And for people that listen, you know, we've got, you know, Kelsey Brandenburg puts it on a lot of our on Facebook, a lot of websites, and she develops a rotations, because a lot of times you go to the website and you don't see, if it didn't just happen, you won't see the information. So we have it rolling, going through. All the myriad of flyers that we put out will pop up in front of you, or they're available if you take a little bit, and we try to use this venue for those that don't operate in the Facebook and the internet world, and hoping that this contacts a lot of people. So, AJ, would you have any final comments for us, for the group?
Yeah, of course. First of all, thanks for allowing me to be a part of this. And speaking from the district standpoint, I think we're excited to be open for the kids, and we're excited to be there for the kids. We believe that the stability of having school for our school-age children is incredibly important, and doing everything we can on a day-to-day basis to provide services for them is really important. Thank you.
Thanks, AJ. Yeah, and I'll close it up here. I'm obviously stressed. I've had stressful positions. I've been deployed, and it does take its toll on you. And you really gotta find some way, whatever that way is, to refocus you or to get you to relax. I think it's really important. I need to do it myself. I'm not very good at that. So I wrote down a few hints here. Again, thanks panel for coming. Thanks AG and Jamie and Tiffany. Appreciate you taking the time. Appreciate everybody that's listening in. And we will continue to have different radio shows. Once KDLG will let us and try to pass on information. And we really want you to take care of yourself, because the other thing that stress does is it brings down your immune system and makes you more susceptible. And that's definitely not something we want to do, where we want people to do. So got to live your lives. But you got to be smart about how you're doing impacts yourself, your family, and others. But we want to get back to living lives the best you can. So take care, everyone, and thanks for all your time. And
the conference is now in talk mode.
But it's back to yours, Tyler.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, everyone, for calling in today. And yeah, we're looking forward to having more discussions going into the future. But appreciate it, everybody. Thanks again.